my text this morning in Psalm 119 and verse 171. A number of you will know that we've been going through this psalm on the Wednesday evenings at the midweek meeting. Well, today we're going to look at the psalm this morning. We've arrived at verse 171. Psalm 119, verse 171. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Dear congregation, the Lord is worthy of praise each and every day. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, consider what the Lord has done for you. He has blessed you so much in the gospel, and he has blessed you in your life as you have sought to live for him, not only in spiritual ways, but also in temporal ways. Is it not your desire to praise him each and every day in view of what he has done for you? This was the desire and the resolve of the psalmist in Psalm 145 in verse 2. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Not only was it his desire, but it was his resolve. Will I bless thee? I will praise. You notice his resolve there? Well, consider the resolve of the psalmist here in verse 171. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. He is worthy each and every day of our praise if we do not praise him enough. Now, we are to praise him in different situations and for the mercy that he has shown us in those situations. For example, when he in mercy delivers us from some trial, we are to praise him. When in mercy he gives us direction, we are to bless his great and glorious name. Upon every blessing of his mercy, we are to praise him. The Puritan Thomas Manton wrote that upon the receipt of every mercy, we should praise God, including what we consider here this morning, instruction. And you note this here this morning, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Now we're in the final part of this great psalm. And as we considered a few weeks ago on a Wednesday evening, in the previous two verses, in verse 169 and verse 107, there was a prayer, first of all, for greater understanding. And then secondly, for deliverance. Just notice these words, let my cry come near before thee. You see, the psalmist is earnest. He so desires that his cry, that his prayer comes near to the Lord. We notice his humility, did we not? He was a humble man. He didn't take it for granted. No, he came humbly. He desired the Lord in a gracious way, but also in a merciful way, to bow down his ear and listen to his cry. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. So a prayer for greater understanding, and then for deliverance. Well, here in verse 171, we have his resolve. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. And it is good as the Lord's people that we have our resolves to worship him, to bless him, as we see in Psalm 23. Our resolve to serve him, as to me and my house, we will serve the Lord, says Joshua. And here this resolve that we will praise the Lord, having received instruction. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Two thoughts this morning as we come to these words. Firstly, God's powerful instruction. And then secondly, my sacrifice of praise. Just all this morning, let's consider God's powerful instruction. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Now just note these words carefully. The psalmist thinks of instruction, but you note their fervour. He considers that the instruction has come to his heart, that he's been taught and now he is following. It's not just he's thinking of the instruction, but he's considering it's been applied and he's now following what the Lord has spoken. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Now, in passing, consider the psalmist has been taught to praise the Lord, and that's what he's doing, isn't it? And that's what his resolve will be doing in the future. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. God's instruction is effective and powerful upon the hearts of the elect. And consider how the Lord has spoken to you. You pray for instruction, as we will consider in a moment, and the Lord has given you that instruction, that teaching. He's spoken to you. The words come home and you said, this is the way I'm to walk, Lord. Thou hast made it plain. It is effectual and it is powerful. Consider how the Lord dealt with those disciples as he opened up their understanding in Luke 24 and verse 44. There they were gathered on that first Christian Sabbath day. And we read in Luke 24, verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. See how the Lord was at work. He opened their understanding so that they might understand the scriptures. See the power and how the word was effectual, that instruction. The Holy Spirit was at work. And how the Lord is able to open our understanding that we receive the word of God. God's powerful instruction. It comes to the mind as we read it, applied by the Holy Spirit. There are times when we're reading, we sense the Lord is so speaking to us. And we are led to consider what is right and what we're to do. And as a result, we're found offering praise. Yes, we know the word of God is right. But there are times when we just read it and it doesn't sink in. But there's other times when the Lord so works and we're aware of his voice. Ah, this is what I'm to do. I've read it before. I know it. But I know in this situation, this is what I am to do. It's the powerful effect of the ministry of the Lord upon our hearts. And we're not surprised, are we, when we consider the teacher. All the power he has. And he has access to your soul. And through the Holy Spirit, the word can be brought and applied. And you're found saying, this is the way I must walk. This is what I must do. When thou hast taught me, instructions come. And it's been impressed upon the psalmist, and the psalmist knows, and now he's walking. When thou hast taught me thy statutes. We pray to the Lord in Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. And he answers that prayer. It's in accordance to his will to answer such a prayer. Oh, he will answer. And he will speak. Oh, consider him. He has such infinite knowledge, wisdom and understanding. In Psalm 147 verse 5, the great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Such understanding. Consider him. All in all eternity, we will never get to the end of the knowledge of God. So great, so glorious, so powerful. Oh, consider how he instructs us, how he uses the word. Oh, what a teacher he is. He is able. Dear brothers and sisters, consider what the Lord did in effectual calling. You heard the voice of the Son of God, and you lived. The Word came home. The Holy Spirit ordinarily uses the Word, and how he used it. And only the boys sitting in church, there used to be this text above the pulpit, "What think ye of Christ?" For many years, I just thought of him as one that came into this world. But there came a time, "Oh, there's my Saviour," as I consider those words. The Word was brought home. How the Lord used it in effectual calling, and how he continues to use it. He brings the Word home. At times it's a word of rebuke, and we're humble. We know that humbling effect within. A word of direction. "Ah, this is the way I'm to go." A word of encouragement. We may be cast down, but he's lifted us up. Oh, consider the Lord, how he speaks. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ particularly. He is the great teacher. Nicodemus came to recognize that. In John 3 verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Great teacher, the prophet, the apostle, the messenger of the covenant, as we see in Malachi chapter 3. He has such knowledge of the will of God, and he was sent to declare it. And he, through the Word, speaks to our souls today with such authority and power. Oh, consider him. Consider he's the counselor, how he guides. Should remember those words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." What a counselor he is, how he counsels, and we admire his wisdom, don't we? He teaches us, he counsels us. Consider he is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 24. We're to listen to him. Oh, how he so speaks in such wisdom. He knows what we need. He brings the Word home to bear. He reveals the truth to our hearts. He makes known the will of God through his Word and Spirit. Oh, consider him. Consider how he works in our hearts through his Spirit. Are we not struck with his ministry? Remember those officers who were sent to take hold of our Lord? They came, but they couldn't take hold of him. Why? Because they were struck by his ministry. They came back. They were questioned. The officers answered in John 7 verse 46, "Never man spake like this man." Oh, consider how he has spoken to you. We hear his voice in the Word. "Never man spake like this man." How he comes alongside. You recall he is the consolation of Israel, like Simeon recognized. He comes alongside to console. "Never man spake like this man." How many of the Lord's people have been so helped through those words? "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." How he so speaks. He brings the Word home, and we're consoled, and we're comforted. How he speaks in such a gracious way to us. Psalm 45 verse 2 is the psalmist thinking of Christ. "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee." There the psalmist, he marvels at the gracious words of the Lord. "Grace is poured into thy lips." How he speaks in such a gracious way. He's so very kind to us, isn't he? As he speaks to us through the Word, even when he rebukes. He rebukes from a heart of love. He's so kind. He's so gracious. Oh, be often at the feet of Jesus in a spiritual way. We are acquainted with him. Be often at his feet. We have an experimental knowledge of him, as we see in Philippians 3 verse 10. We long to know him more. Be often at his feet in a spiritual way. At a school, the pupils know their teacher. They're acquainted with their teacher. What a blessing to be acquainted with Christ. And to be there listening to him through the word as we come to those times of private worship, family worship, but also public worship. What a blessing. He's invited us to learn, hasn't he? Matthew 11 verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Learn of me, says Christ. What an invitation. Come unto me in the gospel, and those who are drawn and born to Jesus through grace have another gracious invitation. Learn of me. What a blessing to learn of Christ. In Philippians 4, the apostle makes plain that he had learned contentment. Where had he learned contentment? At the feet of the Master. He looked to him, considered him. Oh, we learn so much at the feet of the Master as we turn to the Word, and he invites us, learn of me. Learn of me in this situation you're facing. Here, bring the Word home to you. It's not in vain, is it, when he says, learn of me. You may be perplexed or anxious about something. Jesus says, learn of me. And you take comfort. Here, teach you. The Word will come effectually and powerfully, and you'll be helped and comforted. That's what you've known in times past, isn't it? It may be you're looking for direction. Jesus says, learn of me. And he'll teach you. He's so very kind, isn't he, to us. We fail him, but he is so kind to us. We can keep going back to the Master. We can keep getting down at his feet in a spiritual way. Oh, consider how he speaks, and that his word is effectual and powerful. What do we note here? My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. The psalmist believes the Lord is going to so teach him, bring the words home, and he's going to be following him again in some situation. It's a belief here, isn't it? And we believe it. You believe him that the Lord's going to instruct you and bring the words home to your heart. Now we notice here these words, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Those of you who were here a few years ago, if you recall, when we opened this series in Psalm 119, we considered that there are 10 words in Psalm 119 that direct us to consider the words of God, like judgments, laws, where here we have statutes. Now, if we particularly think of this word, it speaks of that which has been appointed, ordained. Also, we can think of commandments, statutes. Well, with this word and the other 9 words in Psalm 119, we're led to consider particularly the word of God. So when you read statutes here, children, when you read statutes, simply we're thinking of the word of God. For it's been appointed, ordained. We think of the commands of the Lord. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. The Lord speaks through his word, dear brothers and sisters. In 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13 we read, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The brethren of Thessalonica, they received the word as the word of God. Yes, the apostles were inspired to write, but they received It is the word of God that's plain, isn't it? And the apostle speaks of how they received it. They received it as the word of God. And there was this recognition of the power. How the Lord so used. How the Lord uses his word. We receive this book as the word of God. The Lord speaks to us. We're taught what we are to believe. And what we are to practice. That's why we need to be often at the feet of Jesus. We need to be wrapped in the word. The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, "The scripture contains in it the credenda, the things which we are to believe, and the agenda, the things which we are to practice." We're to receive, and we're to believe the word of God. Or we're shown what we are to believe, are we not? Remember those words? John 20 verse 30. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." You see, in that instant there, we're shown what one is to believe. We could go on, we're shown in the word what we're to believe, but also what we are to practice. And those precious words found in Micah 6 verse 8. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." We're shown from the Lord through his word what we're to practice, what we're to do. "O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." Let's just open this up a little. We're taught how to walk. In those words in Ephesians 5 verse 2. "Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour." Walk in love. This activity in love, focusing on Christ. And we need to focus much on Christ in our walk. And we're to have love in our hearts, considering how he had love in his heart. We're to have love in our hearts for the Lord, for the brethren, and for others. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. That's so vital. We're the children of light. We're to so be walking in a way that is befitting. The apostle writes in Ephesians 5 verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." It does matter how we walk. It does matter how we speak. It does matter what we think, what we do, because we're to walk as the children of light. And then in Ephesians 5 verse 13, we're instructed to be so careful in our walk. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." We need to walk circumspectly with such care. We need to be careful. We need to be careful each and every day. When we are presented with certain things or with certain people, we need to walk circumspectly. We need to be so wise. Wise in what we say. Wise in what we do. There's so much to be done, is there not? In walking in the Lord in a befitting way. But we are taught how to walk. We've been taught when we look to the Lord again. Keep showing us how we're to walk. Consider secondly, we are taught how to pray. In Luke 11 verse 1 we read, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." They had prayed before. They had observed our Lord praying before. But here comes the request. Lord, teach us to pray. And don't be ashamed. And it's good to be honest. I've prayed before, but I've asked the Lord again to teach me how to pray. We have that direction for prayer. That pattern prayer gives us much instruction. And it's very helpful, isn't it? But then the whole Word of God instructs us also how to pray as a whole. Look those words again. Lord, teach us to pray. At times you may feel that you've become a little cold in your prayer life. Lord, teach me to pray. Or it may be you're struggling in your prayer life. Lord, teach me to pray. It may be you're confused in view of some providence. Lord, teach me to pray. How I am to pray aright. Lord, teach me, but teach us to pray. Is one speaking for others? Is the people of God recognizing their need of Jesus again to instruct them in the way they are to pray? We get down in a spiritual way at the feet of the Master. It's good to say these little prayers, isn't it? Lord, teach us to pray at the beginning of the prayer. We're taught how to pray. Just think of that pattern prayer. Our Father which art in heaven. Oh, we're taught to consider God, aren't we? Particularly think of a Father. He's in heaven. He's there. He's everywhere, but particularly in heaven. For his glory is most manifested there. And his presence is most known. Our Father which art in heaven. What a comfort in that instruction to know God is there. Our Father which art in heaven. And he's a Father to us. So much instruction there. And so much aid to pray. You know, I've said to one or two at a time, if you're struggling in prayer, go to the pattern prayer and pray in light of it specifically. Make it your own and just expound on it. And that can be a great help. Our Father which art in heaven, we could lift the soul, we begin talking to the Father, taking comfort that he is there, knowing that he will provide all our needs. Are we not thankful for instruction from Christ in that pattern prayer? Thirdly, we are taught how to worship. Just notice the end of Matthew chapter 28, these well-known words here. Our Lord, not long before he left the world, said to his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Our Lord speaks there of the law of worship. He makes it plain, and we're taught. We're to look to the King as head of the church. Let's consider fourthly, we are taught lessons in affliction. We are taught lessons in affliction. What do we read here in Psalm 119, verse 171? My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. And the psalmist, as we know, as we go through this psalm, will consider those times he's been taught from the word, what he's to do, how he's to conduct himself in a time of affliction. Psalm 119 verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And you see there, the affliction was sanctified for his good, because he learned. He learned from the word. And it is the reality. There are times when we are struggling in affliction, and the Lord really speaks to us. He helps us. We learn lessons in affliction at the feet of the Master. You see, he's so kind, so gracious. He comes, he helps, he brings a word to console and comfort us. He puts his hand on us in a spiritual way through the word. You think when a little child is struggling, the mother or the father comes alongside, puts their hand on them in such a gentle way to reassure them. To comfort them. But our blessed Master, he puts his hand on us in a spiritual way to reassure and comfort us in affliction. And he does it through the word, doesn't he, particularly? And we can respond, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. He sees there the blessing of that affliction. It was sanctified for his good, and he learned from the Lord. See what the Lord is teaching you in affliction, in trial. He'll teach you precious lessons. Quickly, we are taught from the Lord to love him. What do we read in Deuteronomy 6 verse 5? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. There's so much there for our learning. To love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, and our might. To have an affection arising to him from our hearts, from our souls. To love him with this might. Effort into loving the Lord. Let me just give you a little aid here as you think of putting effort into loving the Lord. Seek to tell him often that you love him. Seek to tell him often. You wives, when did you last tell your husbands that you love them? Husbands, when did you last do it? When did you last say it to the beloved? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Effort into loving the Lord. Telling him often, focusing upon him, seeking to make known your love to him. Making known your love to him by desiring him more, by seeking to keep the commandments. We're taught to love the Lord. And are we not thankful? We're told to love the Lord. What a blessing to be found loving the Lord. To have this grace of love within. Are we not thankful he comes and he teaches us. And he teaches us to love him. And the Holy Spirit cultivates that grace of love. And we're found having a heart pull towards him. In view of Christ, we want to know more of his love because we're found loving him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. More of the love of Jesus because I love thee. No. We're taught to love the Lord. Now we're not thankful for that. The Lord instructs us. He gives us instruction that we might so live. He instructs the church how the church is to behave. He has given us his word. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 we read, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see the prophet, the blessing of the word. He's given us the word for our good. It was my privilege yesterday afternoon along with Sharon and the family to watch these reports from Africa and Asia of people receiving the word of God. One lady was just taken up that she had a new copy of the word of God. Her old Bible was so worn, it was in tatters, yet she kept reading from it. But then this organization came and gave her a new Bible. She just kept thanking Jesus for her new Bible. Ought we not to be found often thanking Jesus for our Bibles? Because he speaks to us. He instructs us. It's for our profit, isn't it? Lovingly he rebukes us. He leads us on. The Lord speaks through his word. We're to be good pupils listening. I have to confess I used to fall asleep at school in a number of lessons. Science, English, art. I remember times when I went to sleep. I could have done better. I know you children, you do better than me. I wasn't the best of pupils at school. But oh, to learn as a good pupil in the school of grace at the feet of Jesus. That's what I want to do more and more. Oh, to learn more from him. The Lord speaks, he teaches us from the word. We're to be listening. Do not we pray that he would speak to us? Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. Teach me, Lord. If you're a little child coming, Mum, Dad, teach me how to do this. I want to know. There were certain things. I went to my parents, particularly my mum. Mum, teach me how to make a Swiss roll. She was delighted. But I had another agenda, because I was hungry. But we have a sincere desire, don't we? To be taught, so we go to the Lord. Teach me thy paths. We want to learn. We want to learn more of him. We want to learn more how we're to live for him and to do good. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end, said the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 53. Teach me. I want to know. I've been blessed so far. I've been blessed in affliction. Teach me, Lord, again and again. Teach me. I want to please thee. I want to do that which is right. Teach me. But to all humbly get down to the floor and pray that the Lord would instruct. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Go to the Lord. Talk to him. Tell him that you want to learn. For the psalmist says here, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Show me the way, Lord. Point it out to me. You may be on a walk. It's a new walk to you in a different place. Yes, you've got a guide who's walked there often. And you say to the guide, what's that place? Where does that lead to? And you desire that they would teach you, point out the way. Or go to the Lord, point out the way for me. Show me the way. O Lord, teach me. And he will. He's so kind. What do we read in Isaiah 54, verse 13? And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Thinking there of the church, particularly, and the seed. All thy children, converts, shall be taught of the Lord. It's a promise. They will be taught, dear brothers and sisters, you've been taught already. For he's going to come again and teach you again and again through the word, be often at his feet. And in view of teaching, will we not praise him? Time has gone. But just notice verse 171. My lips shall utter praise. Here's my sacrifice of praise, Lord. Thou hast taught me. I'm going to praise thee. Here's his resolution. He's not going to be silent, but he's going to praise the Lord. Just note these words, my lips shall utter. Just note those two words, shall utter. At the root of the Hebrew word, it speaks of to gush forth, a flowing, a pouring out. Here's the psalmist. The Lord has spoken to him, and as it were, he burst out in song of praise to him. My lips shall utter praise. There be this gushing. You see, he is so taken. He's heard the words of his Lord. He's so taken. Oh, this is what I'm to do. Thou hast helped me in affliction. Thou hast guided me in this perplexity. And his heart is stirred, and the words gush forth. He bursts out in song. When did you last so praise the Lord? I thank thee, Lord, that thou didst help me. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. There has been cause for praise. There will be further cause for praise. Let me leave you with this comfort. The Lord's going to come. He will speak to you. He will help you. And you will find cause. But just letting the words out in praise to him. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, our lips will utter praise to thee. We thank thee how thou hast spoken to us effectually and powerfully at the gospel. We heard the voice of the beloved. We thank thee how thou hast effectually spoken to us in our lives as believers. For those times when thou hast so helped us to read thy word, and thou hast so spoken to us, and we've been directed, we've been comforted, we've been helped in the situation we are in. Oh Lord, we praise thee. And we will praise thee now because we know thou art going to teach us again. And we know that we are going to be taught throughout all eternity. Oh, how blessed that will be. We worship thee. We adore thee. Teach us, O Lord. We're not ashamed with that word of old to simply say to thee now, Lord, teach us how to pray. Oh, teach us, Lord. Teach us later today. Teach us on the morrow. Keep coming, blessed Master, and instruct us, not only in prayer, but in that which we are to do in every area of our lives. Oh, teach us the way we're to go in providence, O Lord, and through thy word. Blessed be thy name, for Christ's sake. Amen. He sends our final praise, Psalm 23, and we're going to sing verses 1 to 7 with the tune Franconia. The first verse, to thee I lift my soul, O Lord, I trust in thee. Psalm 25, verses 1 to 7, and the tune is Franconia.
To thee I lift my soul.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Amen.